And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Thursday, May 18th. This is On Deck. I'm Stephen Nesbitt. I'm here with Levi Weaver. Levi, how are you doing today?
I'm hanging in, Stephen. On today's show, I'm not going to insult any bands today. That's not happening. On today's show, we are going to talk about the Astros getting hot. We're going to preview our top series of the weekend. It's time for another arms race pick. And Stephen is going to give us a brief lesson in the ancient tongue of mermaids.
Let's go. Hey, if I can take you back in time 10 days ago, I was a year younger.
Oh, happy birthday.
Let's see. George Santos is someone I only knew as the guy who said,
"Let's go Mets!
Let's go Mets!" in like a weird off-key tune. He's been in the news. What else happened? The Warriors were still alive, and the Astros were game under 500. So things have changed. A lot has changed in the world, you know, in the last 10 days. So since then, the Astros have taken 2 of 3 from the Angels in division, swept the White Sox, took 2 of 3 from the Cubs entering their finale, which will take place after our recording. We apologize terribly for the out-of-date information on that one. But the Astros are back. The Astros are good. They overtook the Angels already in the division standings, and they are 3 games back at the Rangers, who have been sort of otherworldly so far. And that lead could kind of evaporate in a hurry if you look ahead at the schedule ahead for the Astros, which is 6 of the next 9 games against the lowly Oakland A's. So all is right in the world, I guess. The things are getting back to normal. What's happening with the Astros that they are sort of back on track?
I'll play the pessimist. I took a second to look up their stats for the month of May, and I get it, man. 10 days ago, we're looking at May 18th now. So there's a whole 8 days that, you know, are not accounted for in that hot streak. And maybe they were just abysmal in those 8 days. But of their hitters, there are 2 that have an OPS over 700 for the month of May. It's Yordan Alvarez, who has an OPS of 1,000,000. 1041. Mauricio Dubon is at 730. Everybody else is under 700. Alvarez is, you know, like a batting average. Alvarez is 340, Dubon 321, Peña's 286. Everybody else is 220 or under. They've got, 5 guys under 200 in batting average for the month of May. So, and Michael Brantley had a setback with his injury. He's going to be out for who knows how much longer. Jose Altuve started a rehab assignment, so he'll be back at some point soonish, and I'm sure that'll help. But I'm not ready to believe just yet. Now, if you want to flip that over to the pitching side, you've got an argument that I'm way out in left field because you got, you know, Seth Martinez, Hector Neris, neither have allowed a run in an earned run in May. JP Francis pitched 11 innings. His ERA is 0.77 for the month. Phil Maton, 1.13 for the month. You've got 8 guys on the pitching staff that are striking out more than 10 hitters per 9 innings, including Brian Abreu, who's striking out 18 batters per 9 innings in his 6 innings this month. So I think that's actually weirdly, you know, it looks like it should be a blowout for the Astros as they face the A's for 6 games out of 9, but the Astros have great pitching and their hitting has not been good. The Athletics are a terrible team, but they're not a bad hitting team. Their offense is fine. So you're going to get a reasonably good offense against great pitching. You're going to get slumping hitting against abysmal pitching and defense. I will be watching that series with a little bit of interest to see if this is when the Astros really go on that run to prove who they are, or if maybe some of the early slumps were legit. I think this might be closer than it should be.
I do think it's an opportunity for the Astros to sort of make up some ground, I guess, from mistakes they made early in the season. A bunch of injuries headed their way. Luis Garcia out with Tommy John. Jose Urquidy is out. Lance McCullers Jr. hasn't pitched yet. And like you mentioned, Altuve probably back within a week or so. So this is a chance these next 10 days or so to really make up for lost time. And you're right, the lineup has been, I mean, if they didn't have Dubon coming out of nowhere, I don't know where that record would be, but being 4 games over .500, not the worst place to be. And with the moves they've made in the rotation, we always knew they had depth, right? They let Justin Verlander walk because they could. They had the ability to backfill with Hunter Brown, who already had debuted last year and given up like 2 runs in 20 innings or something like that, and pitched in the postseason. So you knew that guy was capable. And you bring in Brandon Bielak and JP France. They've been, well, France especially, have been fantastic so far. So this team at full strength, I still believe in a lot, but you're right. It is concerning that you have a healthy Tucker, you have a healthy Bregman, have a healthy Abreu, presumably, and none of them have really shown up in the same way. Bregman and Abreu in much more extreme extent, I guess, than Tucker. He's been okay, just not, he's not Kyle Tucker that we're used to. So this team, I think all the pieces are still there, and once they get to full strength, I think it's, the Astros are going to be giving the Rangers a run for their money any day now. But you're right, it is not the start that they, the start we would have anticipated them getting off to.
Right, and as much as I'd like to posture as being a non-believer on the Astros, they've been wildly underperforming. That's still a very winnable division. The Rangers have looked really great. Their offense has been killer, but is that going to keep up, or are those guys overperforming a little bit? The Rangers' bullpen is still extremely vulnerable. The rotation's good. You know, I don't think Andrew Heaney is the Heaney of last year, but it's a good rotation. Ideally, you're going to get Jacob DeGrom back at some point. The Mariners haven't looked great. The Angels, it's one of those I'm going to continue to bet against the Angels until they prove me wrong. I mean, they could be 30-0 right now, or whatever, however many games they've played, 40-0. And I would still just, it's safe money to bet they're not going to make the playoffs and they're not going to do well until they do. And at some point they'll prove me wrong, and good for them when they do. So yeah, it's very much a winnable division for the Astros still.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's take a look at our top series for the weekend. No, it's not Houston versus Oakland. We are going to look at the Baltimore Orioles versus the Toronto Blue Jays. I think the big question for me is one that, honestly, we will probably have an answer to by the time this thing comes to air, which is, how did Vlad Guerrero's MRI go? At time of recording, the Yankees lost the first 2 games of that series to the Yankees. That's tough. It sucks to lose to a division rival, especially one that's where this started to get heated. And, you know, everybody is talking about the Aaron Judge thing. We won't beat you over the head with that, but it's great drama, and it sucks for the Blue Jays to lose 2 out of 3. But if they lose Guerrero, right, okay, then now we got a problem. I said last week on the Baltimore side, I didn't really believe in the Baltimore starting rotation. In 9 innings, their last 2 games, they've allowed 11 runs. 8 of that was Grayson Rodriguez, who had a really bad start. They've so far split their series against the Angels. They've scored 12, they've allowed 12, and that's about where I kind of expect them to be. So you've got one team that's kind of skidding a little bit against a division rival. You've got another team that probably has maybe outperformed their talent level a little bit with the Orioles. But I think as far as if you're looking for a good series to watch, this should be a really good one.
The Blue Jays have been such a streaky team, especially this month. They have every series so far, again, pending the result of Wednesday's game, has been a sweep. And it's been lost 4 to the Red Sox, swept the Pirates, lost 2 to the Phillies, swept the Braves, and lost the first 2 to the Yankees here in a series so clouded in controversy we can't even get to it in our 15 minutes here. So stay tuned. It'll get covered. But yeah, the lineup sort of is what it is, right? It's the Blue Jays have perhaps the deepest lineup in the American League. They're strong 1 through 9. They have a great bench. Their backup catcher is better than your backup catcher. Their third catcher is probably better than your starting catcher. But the rotation is such that you are relying on 4 days out of 5 guys that I don't feel great about day in and day out, right? So you have Kevin Gausman is, again, potentially like a Cy Young candidate in the back half of his career. He's turned into that every year. Good for them for hanging on to him. But then you have Chris Bassett, who's been pretty good. Jose Berrios, Yusei Kikuchi, all probably better than expected so far this year, with Berrios much more hit or miss than the other two. And then Alek Manoah suddenly is a middle of the road to worse starter. The projections have not liked him. The results lately have not been in his favor. That's a starting rotation you're rolling out there, and it feels like it's a stronger 1-5 than a lot of teams have, but much more volatile for 2-4, 2-5 as well. So that's where they stand now, and they're facing an Orioles team that has so much juice behind them. They have Cedric Mullins is going for the cycle, and he's among, honestly, like the early MVP candidates, as is Adley Rutschman, on-base machine, good catcher, hitting for power, doing everything, getting on base at an elite rate there. Even though Jorge Mateo has kind of come back to earth, that's a lineup that can do some damage. And then a rotation that much less heralded, you have your Dean Kramers and your Kyle Bradishes and your Tyler Wells. Grayson Rodriguez has gotten roughed up. Your number one is Kyle Gibson. And that just kind of shows that you're going for a rotation that is steady, even. Okay, but it's got to be won by the bats. And so far, they've been winning with their bats and their bullpen. And so it's a recipe that's worked out.
All right, so tell me about your second series, and then I will get to mine.
My series to watch here is Tampa Bay at Milwaukee. These are in Brewers, two of the hottest hitters in May, Christian Yelich and Owen Miller, both one-dotting OPS. Bryce Turang has been good. Rowdy Tellez coming on of late as well. Both teams, the rotation's kind of falling apart due to injury. Wade Miley just left on Tuesday with a lat injury. They got Miley, Woodruff, Brandon Woodruff, Aaron Ashby, Adrian Hauser just got back from the DL, of the injured list. So you're basically working with Corbin Burns and a rotating cast of who's healthy at the time. And at the same time, of course, we have Tampa, I don't think even has a full rotation at this time. They're doing some opener games behind McClanahan, Zach Eflin, Fleming, Taj Bradley, I would assume, is coming up. So there are a lot of holes in both rotations, but at the same time, some lineups that can do some damage.
Your Yelich is back, baby. That's exciting. My series is the Dodgers and the Cardinals. This may not seem on its face like an interesting series because you've got the team with the best record in the National League versus the team with the worst record in the National League, but the Cards have been better lately. This is going to air on Thursday, but they lost on Tuesday. We don't know what they did on Wednesday yet. As of right now, though, 7-2 in their last nine. Wilson Contreras is back at catcher, apparently, because all it took was a week to solve that enormous existential drama in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. That was probably another thing that 10 days ago was different.
Yeah. Was it even 10 days ago when that came to light?
I don't think so.
What a mess. I think I described them recently. Like, it's still a mess in St. Louis, but for the last week, it's been a little more Jackson Pollock and a little bit less like can of SpaghettiOs stomped into the carpet. But they're facing the Dodgers, who are incredibly hot. They went from 13. You want to talk about the Astros coming back to power. The Dodgers went from being 13-13. They are now 27-16. It's weird to me that they never trailed by more than two games. I thought they were a little bit further behind than that, but they weren't. They now have a three-game lead, again, as of Wednesday afternoon in the NL West. This is when St. Louis finds out if this is just a fluky hot streak or if they are actually just not a bad team that wildly underperformed. They get a chance to test that against the best team in the division. And it's a four-game series. I think of those four games, just looking, so, you know, the first night you got Urias versus Wainwright. I think I favor the Dodgers there. Gonsolin versus Mats, probably the Dodgers. Game three, though, Noah Syndergaard's having a real bad year. Miles Michaelis isn't having a great year, but the Cards could have an opening there to take that one. In the last game, you've got Kershaw versus Flaherty. I think, you know, Kershaw is having a renaissance. No, he wasn't bad last year either, so he's just continuing to be good. Does it feel weird to say it would be kind of a win for the Cardinals if they can take one out of four in a home series against the Dodgers? Because it kind of feels that way to me.
A little weird. If they split this, it's a win, though.
Yes, for sure.
Tie goes to the Cardinals.
Totally. Absolutely.
Step into the On Deck Arcade with us. We're going to get back to our weekly arms race competition where we pick a start for the weekend. Let's see, last week Corbin Burns got edged out by Bryce Miller, so Levi is up 1-0. The Homer Chase competition, it was 4-3 after one week. I've got Patrick Wisdom going this week, and you have Jake Fraley for the Reds. So, for this weekend, Levi, who's your pick?
Oh, I get to go first?
Yeah, why not?
I didn't think I got to go first. This is great because I'm picking someone from the Pirates. I'm picking Keller. Keller versus the Diamondbacks. He's been phenomenal. The Diamondbacks are not a bad offensive team, but yeah, it was him or, well, I'm not going to say the other one. It's Mitch Keller. That's it.
I thought for a minute about going with Clayton Kershaw against the Cardinals, or like any of the other three starters for the Cardinals, not Noah Syndergaard. But I'm actually going to leave that on the table. I think I'll get opportunities for the Dodgers that I don't want to erase from my list. So I'm going to go Lucas Giolito for the White Sox against the Royals on Saturday, with my backup being Joe Ryan against the Angels. So that will be the one I sort of have to check and see if I made the wrong play there. So Lucas Giolito against the Royals on Saturday. Feeling pretty good about that one. And that'll do it for us. So thank you for checking out the podcast. You can find our work all week long at theathletic.com. You can subscribe for $2 a month for the first 12 months at theathletic.com/baseballshow. Sign up for The Windup, The Athletic's daily baseball newsletter with Levi and Ken Rosenthal for absolutely free. Coming up later today on the feed, the 3-0 show will examine Domingo Herman's sticky stuff ejection and whether another prospect promotion can save the Mets. It's Mark Vientos this time. So far, haven't been saved. Give us a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFUS, and I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. We'll be back after the weekend with more of What's on Deck.
And Mermaid Languages.
Let's go, Mets!
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.